Isn't Chinese New Year's fun, Aunt Sally?
It sure is, Princess Tamalpa.
Oh, look who's here. Hello, everyone. We're not in the story shop today. Want to tell them where we are, Princess Tamalpa?
We're in San Francisco in the apartment of a Chinese friend of mine named Lin Tan. He invited us to share his family's New Year's celebration.
It's been very interesting eating with the family, playing games with the children, and finally tonight, being able to watch the famous Golden Dragon Parade from up here in the apartment.
Yes, it's been interesting and an honor to share this day with Lin Tan and his family.
And what a large family he has. Oh, look, his grandmother's gathering the children around her. I think she's going to tell a story. Shall we join them, Princess Tamalpa?
Yes, let's.
In China, before schools or universities were invented, students traveled throughout the country, learning as they went from the people. They carried the classic teachings of Confucius in a bag of books slung over their shoulder and wore a sword at their hip in case they were attacked. And since music was an important part of their studies, they often carried lutes as well, an ancient stringed instrument similar to a guitar. One such young man was Chang. He was traveling to the capital city to take his examinations, but the night was approaching and he needed to find shelter.
I'm still a long way from the city and I don't fancy sleeping at the side of this dusty road. What I would give for some tea and a bowl of steaming rice. Maybe I can find an inn where I can spend the night. Aha! I see a small village up ahead. And there's an old woman sitting outside her hut making shoes. Hello there, good woman. Where can I find an inn? I need a place to spend the night.
The closest one is 10 miles away, my son.
10 miles? I'll never get there before dark. The sun has already slid from view and the birds are nesting for the night.
Chang stared down the road that stretched out ahead of him, tired and hungry. But as he looked, he noticed a building to the left of the road. It was a pavilion, a structure with a wooden floor and walls, but no roof. It had been built as a resting place for travelers.
Hey, I can sleep in that old pavilion. It's falling apart, but it will at least protect me from the cold night wind. Good woman, I'm going to rest in that old shelter up ahead, but can you tell me where I can get some food?
The old woman began to shiver, and a look of terror filled her eyes. Just then, an old man emerged from the hut's interior.
What's all this chatter out here? Who are you talking to, woman? You're supposed to be working on my shoes.
It's this student here. He wants to spend the night in the pavilion.
No, you can't sleep there.
Nonsense. Who gives you the right to tell me where I can or can't sleep?
Don't need no right. Nobody sleeps there.
That makes no sense. It was built for travelers, wasn't it?
No more it isn't. You'd best be on your way.
Don't be a fool. It's almost dark. I can't travel at night. I'd get lost.
The old woman stepped between the two men and raised her hand to quiet them. Then she glanced fearfully to the right and to the left, and even behind her before speaking.
In these past 3 years, 3 men have slept in the pavilion. Of the 3, not one has lived to see the morning.
Why didn't you tell me there were bandits about?
They aren't bandits. They're not men at all.
You mean there are spirits who are causing the trouble? I'm not afraid of spirits or bandits. Don't you see this sword I carry? And I'm not afraid to use it.
But a sword is of no use against spirits.
There are other ways to get rid of them. If it is spirits who have killed the other travelers, then it's time they were disposed of. Let me share your evening rice so I can have the strength to face these dark forces you speak of. Then I'll trouble you no further.
I don't know. You're asking for something more than you can handle.
3 men have died in the last 3 years. Let that be a warning to you.
Come on, woman. He's determined. Bring the young man inside for dinner.
They all tramped into the house, and nothing more was said about the pavilion or the spirits. They ate silently, heads lowered and eyes intent on the food. When they had finished, the student took up his things, gave the woman some money, then wished them a good night. No one responded, but watched gravely as he walked out into the twilight. Chang trudged up the road till he reached the pavilion. He paused for a moment before climbing the stone steps with weeds pushing up through the cracks.
This is an eerie place. I hope it doesn't fall apart while I'm in it tonight. Oh, it's even worse inside. Dark and musty. What's that? Get away from me, bat! There's not room enough for both of us in here. What have I gotten myself into? Maybe the old man and woman were right.
Chang took a lamp from his bag and a book. After lighting the lamp, he cleared a spot at the edge of the platform, sat down, back straight as a board so he wouldn't be tempted to fall asleep, and began to read. Hours passed like this, but though he was tired, Chang continued to read. Occasionally, the wind would rise and rattle the loose boards, causing the young student to stiffen and look around for fear there actually was an intruder. But then he heard footsteps on the road.
So now I'm to be tested. But I see a man standing in the road in front of the pavilion. Not a spirit. He looks like he's dressed all in black.
Where's the master of this pavilion?
The voice floated on the air like a black cloud. Then another responded from within the same room where their student sat.
Here is the master of the pavilion.
Who is with you?
A student. He's reading and hasn't gone to sleep yet.
Chang watched as the man in black turned and walked away. Then Chang returned to his book. But before long, there were footsteps again, and a man wearing a red hat stood before the pavilion and called out,
Where is the master of the pavilion?
Again, the voice answered from the same room as the student.
I am in here.
Who is with you?
A student. He is reading and hasn't gone to sleep yet.
Then the man in the red hat also turned and walked away. Chang waited and waited, but there were no more visitors. So he rose, went outside, stood where the others had stood, and called out,
Where is the master of the pavilion?
I am in here.
Who is with you?
A student. He is reading and hasn't gone to sleep yet.
Who is the man in black?
He is the black swine of the north.
Who is the man in the red hat?
He is the red rooster of the west.
And who are you?
I am the old Scorpion!
Chang then returned to his lamp and book and continued to read through the rest of the night without any other interruptions. At last it was morning. Chang blew out his lamp, set down his book, and stretched, grateful to be alive. Then he looked around at the room where he'd spent the longest night of his life.
It looks ordinary enough. The only furniture is that old screen in the corner. Where could the master's voice have come from, then? What's that I hear? Someone's coming up the path. Well, I'll be ready this time.
Chang drew his sword and stood behind the door, ready for the intruder. He could hear someone climbing the steps, and a moment later, the door swung open. It was the old man from the village.
What? I can't believe my eyes. You're still alive. This is a miracle. Come, you must join us for breakfast and tell us about your night.
I accept your invitation, but first you must gather all your neighbors and family. We have much to do.
The old man didn't question the student's request, since the young man had more than earned his respect. Off he went and was back a short while later with most of the village following. They stood in front of the pavilion, afraid to enter.
You needn't be afraid of this place any longer if you do what I say. There's a scorpion in here that must be found, so come and help me search.
They all tramped into the building and looked under and behind loose boards, but no one saw a scorpion.
Wait! Pull down that rotting old screen in the corner.
No sooner had Chang spoken than the screen was removed. Behind it sat a scorpion, big as a barrel, with a sting that was several feet long. The wicked scorpion darted towards the student, but Chang had his sword ready and with one sure stroke cut off the sting and pierced the scorpion's body. And then Chang addressed the crowd once again.
Where do you keep a black pig?
A black pig? We don't have a black pig.
Wait, I remember seeing one long ago in a shed a few miles up the road.
Then take me there.
Chang followed the villagers to the place they had described, and there he found a black pig, bigger than any he had ever seen. As Chang approached, the pig raised its head and grunted. Its eyes filled with an evil gleam.
You'll do no more evil in this world, my friend.
With that, Chang raised his sword and chopped off the pig's head. Again, Chang addressed the villagers.
Where do you keep a red rooster?
There's one in a shed to the west of the pavilion.
Take me there.
Once more, Chang followed the villagers until they reached the shed where the rooster lived. It had a great red coxcomb on top of his head and wicked-looking claws. For the third time, the student used his sword, then wiped it clean and placed it in the sheath at his hip.
Now we can celebrate. The evil forces that terrorized the pavilion are dead.
And so, Chang and the villagers celebrated for 2 days, and from that day on, no traveler ever feared again sleeping in the old pavilion.
What a story, Aunt Sally.
Yes, a little scary at times.